Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to another episode of We Got This Podcast. I often hear that HR is too fluffy and doesn't understand the business side of things. We could spend hours debating what fluffy actually means and what caused it. Was it HR being too broad and too generalist in its approach, or was it CEOs and boards not really involving HR in strategy discussions and treating it like any other department by giving it a set of target metrics and a budget to hit? We're not going to discuss that because there is a change on the horizon. More and more companies are seeking business savvy HR leaders, passionate about people, as opposed to people-focused HR leaders with an interest in business. The shift demands a different skill set. Someone who understands how to leverage talent to drive business success rather than just being a people person. This is likely to lead to another change. Gone will be the days of top management focusing solely on strategy, leaving culture to HR and middle management, who, if not involved in the strategy discussions, cannot really design and foster a culture to support the strategy in the first place. The gap is huge. So it will take some time to close. The question is, what can we do in the meantime? And I think we can educate. Top management educates HR what they need and vice versa, all while working to the same goal, making the business great. To discuss this topic further, I roped in Mateusz Staszica because we've been talking about this in recent weeks. I thought he would be a great person to have this to discuss it with. Mateusz is the founder of PLA School, where they teach language using a method which combines neurolinguistics and psychology with a business and practice-oriented approach. So it will be great to get his perspective from a founder's point of view, a CEO's point of view on this topic. We Got This showcases individuals and organizations that create people-focused workplace cultures to help it become the norm rather than the exception. It's something that will require a mindset shift, and probably not something that any of us can do alone. But together, we got this. Mateusz, welcome.
Hi, cheers. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm perfect. Thank you very much for the invitation.
I know from our discussions already that you've got some views on the topics that we can dive into, and I know it's going to be engaging this discussion from the simple point of view that some of them I do agree with. You see, ITI, but some that I still got question marks, and some I disagree with, which I think is going to make it a fruitful discussion. But before we get to the nitty gritty of the topic, most important question: when you were little, who did you want to be when you grew up?
I don't think I had anything in my mind, actually. I mean, I wanted to be everyone. Like, I had so many ideas, but I didn't really know in this deeper sense, who am I gonna be, who I wanna be. And I think that if I had a proper mentor, maybe, during those days, they would tell me that, yeah, it seems like you might want to be an entrepreneur because, you know, entrepreneur is like no one in particular, actually. So that's it.
Like somebody who likes to try different things,
yeah,
and see whether they work or not.
Exactly.
Okay. Was that your personality as a kid as well, that you just liked to kind of tinker and play with different things and seeing what comes out, and then kind of different interests, different sports maybe? Different activities?
Sometimes yes, in some fields, but for example in sports, not really. Like, I loved football, and for some time I actually thought that I am going to be someone like Robert Lewandowski, you know, so definitely in the front and scoring and, you know, being this kind of celebrity.
I've had the similar. When I used to play football, so I played all sorts of sports. I've always had a knack for it. Basically, if you can kick it, catch it, yeah, throw it, if it's round of any shape or size, I'll be there. I don't like jogging. I don't like running. My dad used to love running marathons. He completed 30 of them in his life. Never enjoyed it. Never. For me, no. I love running if I'm chasing something or someone. ideally in a team sport. Just going for a jog, not really for
me. Yeah, so I do that. I do that. I do jogging. I love it. As far as sports go, I tried everything. Like, not everything, you know, but I was playing so many different games. And if I am not good at something, I lose interest. So probably that was the case with football.
Fair enough. In that respect, I'm similar. But with sports, I can pick things up quickly. I'm active in general, and it's easy. That helps a lot when you kind of know move around. You've got the balance, and it's just kind of applying the finishing touches. So I'm very average at a lot of sports. Let's put it that way. A very average amateur, which I'm happy with for the time being. I might an idea of doing a triathlon popped into my head last week. Never done it. It would involve jogging, running, which is a problem. Yeah. But anyway, I digress. I love talking about sports, but this is not a sports podcast. This is not what the introduction was about. But I'm curious, what are your first thoughts about the introduction, about that shift between what HR will need to become? But most of all, I guess, the state of HR and the kind of the gap between HR and what the business and the CEOs and the founders need. What's your take on that? What's your kind of first reaction?
I can definitely relate to that. And my first reaction was like how to accelerate the change, because we definitely need that change and I need that change. I think if somebody connected the dots at the beginning and in this introduction, you can probably see that our school is the company that really needs that, because we educate people. We need to educate people. We need to educate HR to actually, you know, like insert our unique services in the market. And it's not an easy feat, the thing is, right? So I think that acceleration of that change could help us, could help me grow my business, and could help people. That's what's most important.
When you say that it needs to be accelerated, because that is a challenge, because I'm guessing you mostly talk with HR departments. Do you talk with business owners to kind of get them to buy your services? And is there kind of more resistance from either of the groups than from the other?
Yeah, I think that HRs are very difficult. I mean, because if I am to speak with the founder, with a CEO, they're going to grasp the meaning, what I'm talking about concerning, for example, the difference between benefit and investment. Because if you are just buying a benefit linguistic course or something, it's basically a cost to you, to your company. If you look at it from the perspective of an investment, you can actually somehow project how you gonna get back what you've invested. And CEOs do that. CEOs know the strategy. They have this longer perspective, what they want to achieve, what they want to create. HRs, rarely. So that's the problem. That's the point. And HRs are...
Why do you think that is?
Come again?
Why do you think that is? That HR they don't see it the same way? What do they focus? They focus on a different metric?
Definitely. They've got some KPIs, they've got some budget, and they need to fit in. And this gap they are allowed to fit in is too narrow.
So is it simply because HR are given a budget and they are quite literally just working off a spreadsheet?
Yeah.
I can't afford this.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd love to buy your service, but I can't afford it because I don't have the budget. I don't see the impact. Do they see the impact? Are they more focused on the financial side of things because they can't make it work?
Yeah, they are like focused on this financial area. They do not measure the impact. So in this situation, they are going to choose the cheapest option, right? What's the easiest? And what is gonna be, well, financially savvy, like correlated with what the financial director want to see. That's the problem, you know. So, you know, it's narrow because they are only looking at the metrics and they are not actually creating value that is going to be some kind of, I don't know, like goal-oriented. Like it's not directing the company in the proper way, you know. So that's the thing, I guess. There is no bigger meaning in those actions. I think it's the lack of understanding the strategy. You know, because you've asked at the very beginning, what's the problem? I think it's the problem is, who are we hiring? We are hiring HR specialists who are just good at relations and they want the relations with employees to thrive. They want employees to be happy, but employee happiness does not have to correlate so good with company happiness. So what HR should do, they should find this platform as to make employees happy and also the company. If you look at the company as a big, big, very big man, human being, I think that's the picture every HR should have. And the problem is they don't. They don't really care of this one big human being. They are just thinking about employees. So cheap benefits, you know, employees are happy with that, or some parties, some reunions and integrations, which actually, if they are well designed, they are going to foster this kind of deeper meaning, this fundamental we are putting our company on. But if they are not designed well, then it's just a coast.
I want to challenge you on something. Based on the kind of the budgets and the spreadsheets and the, what you said, the, you know, cheap benefits, cheap activities, I'll agree with you on the point that they, on their own, they don't work. They're just a waste of time. They need to, they are valuable if they are part of a greater strategy of, you know, around employee environment in which they work, company culture, you know, it's an element, right? But then you said, what I want to challenge you on is you said that, you know, the benefits are cheap and they don't really go anywhere. Okay, assuming that they do have that strategy, if HR is given a budget, they can't afford anything more than what they've got in the budget, even if they know that they need a fundamental transformation. They need something bigger, but they can't afford it. So their hands are tied.
Yeah.
In this respect.
And they should,
what should they do?
Try and educate the C-level or the founder or whoever is budgeting. I mean, you need to trust. I think that there is this kind of triangle, like HR person should connect three dimensions, like what employee wants, what employee should want, which basically means what company wants. And they also need to be open to what specialists say, because HR cannot be, for example, a linguistic specialist, right? So they do not have this knowledge how to actually organize the courses in the company, in this given company. Every company is different and every company is going to need something else, tailor-made courses, right? And I think if they were open to the experts from outside of the company, they could have the tools to, go to the board meeting and tell them, guys, we need some more money, because actually, if we have just as little, we are going to spend it, but it's not going to bring any benefits to our company. So if we were to invest a little bit more, we could get much more in advance.
I really would like to get into the why this has happened, you know, where does the blame, the reason for all of this is somewhere in the middle between what I said in the introduction, you know, HR being actually a little bit too soft in its approach and not showing its value and to the business. And then also the business, the boards, the CEOs keeping strategy and HR, at arm's length, not involving them. But genuinely, that discussion has been had many, many a times, and I think it's an important one. But it's better to focus on deeper. What can we actually do? You talked about triangle. You talked about educating HR, educating the C level in terms of what they need. How can CEOs be more and C level be more proactive with from their side? Because for HR, it's often I see, you know, culture and employee happiness, employee satisfaction. That's their kind of one out of maybe two or three main objectives. That's what they're there for. That's what they live and breathe. It's one of 20 on the CEO's list of important factors of what they need to focus on, because CEOs are involved in all the other aspects of the business. So how can CEOs be a little bit more proactive and help HR in that, to kind of actually, you know, help them and help the business?
Yeah, like, I think they should think of HR as very crucial element that needs to be, well, like, inside. They should know what are the plans, what is the strategy, what do we want to achieve, and it needs to collaborate, you know. They need to be on the same page, and if you left HR out, they just don't know which decisions they have to take. And yeah, so I think CEOs should be like more inclusive,
because that I think that's the kind of the debate that's been going on, is, you know, what do HR departments, CPOs, CHROs need to have? There is this shift, I said, that is happening for the right reasons, because don't get me wrong, I'll be the first one to defend HR in this situation, but we'll also be the first one to point things that they could have done better over the years, and there is a lot of that they brought on themselves. There needs to be more of a connect with the business, because simply for the fact HR at this moment in time are mostly known for satisfaction surveys, employee satisfaction surveys, employee morale, and things like that. Nothing really beyond that. For one reason, it's difficult to measure and kind of correlate the return on investment of many initiatives. I know that firsthand. But notwithstanding, that needs to change. So what are the business savviness skills that HR leaders need to develop to be able to do that? What's going to bridge that gap to go beyond just the employee satisfaction surveys? What do you think?
Curiosity, my first thing I thought of. Like, you know, if you just think of any way or not, like, you know, HR, they have some ways of making people happy, the employees, and they stick to it. Like, was there any bigger change, revolution lately in what they do, HR? Like, you know, if you start counting from 60s, 70s, 80s, I mean, I think that the whole model, whole way of thinking is inaccurate right now, like very old way of thinking. We just need to recreate. And I think without curiosity, it's going to be difficult. HRs should be curious of, yeah, what if we don't do integrations? What if we just let people integrate, like, if they want to? And what if we start doing something else, like, not the benefits we know. Like, let's maybe come up with something else. Maybe we should have a conversation with some experts, with some other HRs, maybe from other countries. Like, maybe let's derive from the experience of other companies. And people tend to be closed in the bubble, like HR people from Poland being, and this is actually what the language is for, right? If you are not into English and you don't know it, you are not really using it to educate yourself, you are in this bubble, right? So yeah, I think curiosity and the tools to use that curiosity, which leads us to education, being open to educating ourselves and changing our ways, doing things different ways, right? The other way around. So yeah, it also needs creativity. So I think we need to look for creative people who know business, who want to understand how business works, but at the same time, they are creative, flexible, emotional, and open-minded.
The curiosity is definitely top of the list in kind of any type of bettering yourself aspect. I'm trying to flip it on its head a little bit to maybe see it more from your perspective as a person who owns a business and talks to both groups that we're discussing here, both CEOs, C-levels, and HR departments. And if I ask you a hypothetical question, what do you think would make it easier for you to be able to convey the value of the language courses that you provide to either of the groups? What do you think what would make it easy if you were dealing, for example, with the HR department? What would you like to see more of?
Better communication between them. Yeah, I think everything really connects. Like if they communicated better, knew the strategy, they will all be on the same page. And actually HR was a kind of mouth of this huge company / person being, like human being, right? This metaphor I've created. If they were the mouth of the board, of the CEO, of the founder, that would be easier. Yeah. If they had the same one brain. And it's not. So I think what's most difficult is that you need to approach HR differently, the founder differently, and it would even be nice if you approached employees. So it's like a lot of approaching, and I would like to approach just this one big human being and do business quickly and help this one huge human being to be better and move on. Let's go. Yeah. So that's how I see it.
So it's the decisiveness as well between not having to consult that many stakeholders and decision makers and the people involved in the decision making process.
Oh yeah, exactly. Because every time you want to make a decision and you have to consult it, it just takes too much time. And The problem also is that the more steps in this communication, like there is one person and he or she needs to communicate to the manager of HR, and he or she is gonna speak to the secretary, and secretary is gonna bring the message to the big boss. Like, I totally understand from the perspective of linguistics that this kind of multi-step communication means so much problems and lack of understanding each other, you know, like the whole message becomes blurry and distorted. So that's really problematic.
What do you think is missing in that communication process between the groups? What are the missing pieces? Because clearly skills is one of them, but what else? Why do you feel that they don't communicate that easily, that the information is not flowing or is not being understood or is being misunderstood for that matter?
Could be lack of time. Like they are not told that this is actually the responsibility. Like nobody knows whose responsibility is that. Maybe that's a problem. So nobody does that. Like there is no link, there is no mutual platform. Maybe some way out could be a new position. Like, you know, this link between CEOs and the decision makers and the HR. I don't know. Like, probably it's going to depend on the company. If there are 20 or 30 people, it's definitely different to huge company hires thousands.
Yeah, I see that in the work that I do in terms of decision-making chains. And the larger the organization, obviously, the more people you have to consult, which is challenging. And I would say not always good for the simple fact that we in many situations, we aim for consensus in the group. So everybody basically agreeing that this is the right course of action. And that's what slows things down. I think we should be more going in the direction of a discussion on a topic and then getting majority to people to agree, but everybody has the opportunity to voice their opinions and be in that process. And that's why they can believe with that. And I think that's a challenge overall.
Yeah, that's challenging. And also our way of thinking that the more people are the more employees are happy, the better. Like, not always. Sometimes they are not happy because we have not educated them. Like, they do not understand, for example, why are we actually cutting their English benefit off. Yeah. So it's also like there should be tough decisions, but they should be educated and really well thought through. And we do not do that. Like, HR is actually focusing on making people happy, which does not necessarily mean the happiness of this one big company boy. And here's the thing, I guess. I think we should be making difficult decisions and following with some education to our employees. Like, the more consciousness they have, the more aware they are why the process is like this or that and why we take different actions. This transparency, I think this is essential to make it roll.
But does that mean, maybe not mean, where does the awareness of business fit into that and the strategy? Because we can't all know everything about everything and be experts in everything. HR has a unique skill set. They need to know more about business. But where's the line? How far do they need to go? How much do they need to know about this?
That's a good question. You know, I think of what we are talking about, that it's some kind of foreign land we haven't been roaming through yet. And like, we need to discover. Probably every company is going to have different KPIs, different methods, different strategies. And the involvement of HR in strategy will probably be different. Of course, it will be different. But I'm thinking maybe if we invited HR to create or to describe the strategy, that would help. Because HR then could delve to the level they feel like need delving. Yeah, so we should maybe leave it to the people, not being those masters of everything. Like, founders tend to be like, I know that you have to know this, this, and that, and that's not true. Maybe sometimes we just need to show the people the library and let them choose what they want to read. Maybe. I don't know. You tell me. You're better at the HR.
I love what you said about inviting HR into this, because I often have this visualization, let's say, that I see it as a table. And there is a table where the business does its thing, where the strategy happens, where the discussion happens about the product, about everything else, about, you know, it's not an evil table. It's not full of evil people. That's not what I'm getting at. It's just a table of people deciding how to run the business, what to do with the business, with the product, what to sell, what to focus on, what the targets are, what the budgets are, and, you know, what to do. And I can't help but often either see no room for HR in that discussion, or an empty chair where HR should be sitting, but it's not. And it could be for various reasons. And again, I'm not going to get into that. But I believe in along the lines of what you said, that HR needs to be part of it. It's not about HR knowing exactly everything about business, but being curious and being interested in it and thinking, okay, this is what I'm hearing. If this is what you want to do from a team perspective, from a people perspective, this is what you need to do, X, Y, and Z, right? These are the people that you need to recruit. These are the people that you need to have. This is how you need to train people. This is how you need to treat them. This is what you need to give them and the environment that you need to create for them to succeed. For you to succeed, for the business to succeed. That's kind of how I see it. And I don't know, how does that sound for you from the other side of the table, so to speak? Because you are a founder, you are a CEO. Does that resonate? Does that make sense? Or is that something that you would say, no, this is absolute bullshit?
No, I totally relate to that. And like, with all my heart. But the problem is probably different generation of founders. I mean, first of all, company for me and business is like, well, to support my life and my private life, and I'm not sacrificing my private life to do business. And I also look for the people who are similar to me in this business creation. Although I've committed quite a lot of mistakes because I've been working with many, many freelancers instead of people who vibe with our culture. So it was quite nice. It was quite good. It was a kind of USP. But in the long run, it was a mistake. And I think that it's very important to be clear with the people, with your employees, and whichever position they have. I think it's really good for this whole company boy when everybody is aware of the strategy, what we want to achieve, what we do not want to achieve, what we are definitely not trying to do. So this way, this whole boy is going to be flexible as the founder is, as the head is. Like, it's going to go the proper direction. And I think it also is going to have this kind of muscle memory. Even if you got wasted and your head is off, body is going to find a way home, right? So for me, it's quite important. And HR, if they are invited to the table and if they know the strategy, they can make better decisions even if we do not know it. Like, imagine there is a company that wants to internationalize in 5 years. And if HR does not know about it, so how do they make decisions doing their screening or recruiting? If they know that, they can see, okay, that guy is like, it's just a copy of this guy, but that one knows English perfectly. So if I invite him over to our company and he's going to work for us during a longer period of time, it might be that he's going to be an asset in those 5 years. And what if we can start our internationalization earlier than 5 years, right? So this decision will be a very good decision just because the recruiter got invited to the table. Yeah, so I think it's all about the awareness and understanding that we need to build companies differently. And I do that, and so far so good. I think that if the old companies want to look up to the new ways of running your company, they might find something useful for them and they might want to revise and recreate. That's what they think.
As you were talking, I thought about my project management days. I used to be a manager for many, many years. And I didn't know the subject matter of the teams that I was helping project manage because, you know, I worked in IT. I have vague understanding of coding, but I'm not a coder. I don't know how long things take. And I had to rely on the experts to tell me, to be honest and say, listen, like, this is not possible, or this is going to take 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever. Okay. So I had to trust in that. And once I had that information, I can make decisions, I can make adjustments. And I can't help but think it works in a similar way to how you were just describing the recruiter, the HR manager, the head of HR in general, right? They can't make decisions on how to create an environment for people, how to build teams, if they are lacking certain crucial information, right, of what the business is trying to achieve. That's the strategy piece coming in again. So that's why that connection is important. But I think that gap between the two is so huge, and there's so much animosity and so much, in a way, disrespect between the two, and not seeing value. And I know I use the table analogy, and I'll expand that. It often seems that if they are sitting at the same table, they are not sitting next to each other. They are sitting opposite one another, which means that it's one side against the other. And that's not good either. So it's about either, at the very least, a round table, or sitting on a long bench, as you would, I don't know, in a bar or somewhere, being on the same side. It's a small difference, but I think in the long term, makes the effects and results of that are huge.
Yeah, so I think that we can summarize it. Like, I think in conclusion is gonna be very little thing, like awareness and being aware of what you've said and like implementing in the whole strategy, whole way of like, I don't know, behaving in the company, the culture. Like, it needs to be cultural, understanding that the table is round and not square, and everybody brings to the table something, which means that that everybody has a say, and everybody is gonna have reason. They have like their right from their perspective. And what the founder needs to do is to accumulate everything and make the big boy run. So that's it. And if we do not create culture like this, it's always going to be this square board and everybody is throwing shit in the opposite direction, right? So yeah, I think what can you do now? Revolutionize.
You definitely can. We need to start somewhere because as I said, there's a lot of animosities, a lot of pointing fingers, very little ownership in general. I don't mean on either side. It's just kind of working out when you say both sides need to adjust. HR, I'll be the first one to say that. They need to speak more business language, let's put it that way, right? Put things into context.
Yeah.
But same from the C-level perspective, the top management perspective. They need to articulate things in what they need and involve HR in the wider discussions about strategy so that can be informed. Because again, there should be things where, based on HR's input into strategy, that the strategy is adjusted as well. Because, strategy can be wishful thinking, the same as any other concept. Like, I often work with company values or cultural values within organizations. And we draft, and this is the key point, we draft the values at the topmost level with the people in charge of the company. But these are not final values. They only become final after we spend sometimes weeks or months discussing those draft values with focus groups, with employees within the organizations, within the organization to adjust them, to see what they are like in real life. And often what happens is the ones that have been drafted, half of them don't make it through because it's like they don't make sense. They don't fit in with what the organization is, what we do, and what's important and how we run the operation. That's how you create the values. And the same thing applies, I believe, to strategy and HR. Because you can have all the great strategies you want. HR can say, actually, this is not possible. It's not feasible with the
Yeah.
talent pool that we've got available in the organization.
Yeah, exactly. So like we should, I think what you want to say that there is this elasticity we need, that things are going to change and they might not look like we described them. So as long as the CEO and the decision makers are well open-minded and they feel like they can be educated, and yeah, that might work, right? But the problem is with the companies that are as if made of stone, and we've been doing this for 50 years and it worked, so it's gonna
Yeah,
work
why
for
change it?
another 50
Yeah,
years. Yeah,
I know.
but
I know what you mean. I've noticed that in a lot of companies, in some countries, it's more visible than in others. I agree with what you say. We need dialogue. We need discussions. We need to be more open. But let's make it plain and obvious. This is not going to be comfortable, and I think that's going to be the biggest obstacle on the individual human level. It's just simply you will be told certain things that you might not like, that might not be pleasant. Not about you,
exactly.
not attacking you, but in terms of the work that you do, as constructive feedback should be given. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be pleasant for either of the people involved or departments involved. And I think that's something that we need to keep in mind and still work with that. That this is okay. This is going to be part of a process. It's not going to change overnight. It's going to require some blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, totally. And that's what I'm communicating to HRs and whoever is responsible for the language courses, because people do not understand that sometimes they actually shouldn't be studying languages. Like, languages are not for them because they are not in the environment which would require them of using given language. So, and they are not linguistically important from the perspective of company. So why should they be wasting their time and energy on studying something that is not being useful for them or is not going to be? So
you, do you mean the individual or the company?
Individual. Like in given company, not everybody is, well, necessary from the perspective of internationalization, for example. So we should be really focusing on the people who are using language daily or are going to, according to our strategy. So you see, if there is no strategy or it is not communicated clearly to the managers, it's not going to be that easy. Yeah. And look, from the perspective of a company that has this transparent strategy communicated to everyone, and it's what's most important and critical. Everybody understands this. Everybody understands the strategy and what are the implications. Then those employees who are suddenly not having those English lessons, they understand that, okay, yeah, because I'm not actually having any whatsoever connection with the language. I don't use that. I don't use that professionally. I don't even fucking use that in my private life. So why am I doing this? It's also problematic because if you're not using this, you are not practicing, then you are not going to achieve progress, right? So from our perspective, it's better to educate companies and people that, hey, you don't really have to, and actually you shouldn't be studying a language. Yeah. So this is hard truth people don't want to hear. Also, people don't want to hear that language is not just knowledge. It's a skill. And also, it's an automated skill. So like there are three tiers. And traditional way of studying language just focuses on this first tier, knowledge. And if you want to create a habitual skill, which is automated, like we are speaking right now. There are no gaps in the sentences. There are no verbs to be conjugated or whatever, right? So if you want to create a skill like this, it takes time. It takes more than a couple of weeks. And marketing says, yeah, hey, come on. We're going to teach you in 3 weeks or 3 months and stuff like this. Because people want to hear that. They don't want to hear the truth. So, yeah, I think HR should grow a pair of balls and be better at communicating what's not so comfortable upstairs and downstairs, right? So being better at communicating things to CEOs and also employees.
I want to continue this conversation, but at the same time, I'm thinking that this is a great place to put a comma in this, because what you said is very impactful and to the point. I was thinking about how knowing how things fit into a wider picture resolves a lot of disagreements, dissatisfaction, resistance, and conflict. If you know the proverbial why, if you were going to use Simon Sinek's methodology, but just knowing, you know, as you said, why some people are learning a language and others are not, why do they have that benefit? So that jealousy, some of that jealousy can be removed. It's simply because, you know, you're not using it, you don't want to use it, you don't want to use it, you're not interested in it. So why should you be having access to that? And explain that conversation.
Yeah.
And an analytical person, a conscious person, aware person will kind of go, oh yeah, that makes sense. Fair enough, jealousy, gone. That inequality, the lack of equality that I was feeling because you were getting the course and I wasn't, is actually evaporated because now it's been explained to me.
Yeah, but also HR could be a little bit more creative, and maybe if those positions are not English prone, let's organize something for them. I mean, you can educate and get better at everything you do. So let's find a way how to improve employees' but not universally. It doesn't have to be universal. It doesn't have to be like whole company is studying English, so let the cleaning lady fucking speak English. She doesn't even need to talk.
You know, like, I guess if she had the desire and motivation and would raise her hand, say, listen, I'd really like to learn a language. I know I don't use it. I think it should still be considered. I think it still should be provided. Genuine employees can, it's a genuine benefit that in turn improves their satisfaction, therefore their performance and likelihood, the fact that they're going to stay within the organization. Whether they are a cleaner, doesn't matter where they sit in the organization, right? Having access to that. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of an important bit that needs to be said in here.
Yeah, true. Because she might be using this in her private life. And private life is correlated with the professional life. So as long as she wants and she answers the question why and does it properly, it's a green light, right? But
it then, you know, those are the things that build connection, right? That person will feel, listen, great, I got something from the company. I'm grateful for that. Therefore, I'm not going to just do my job. I'm just going to do my job even better than I could, because I'm already being paid to do my job. So I can't demand to be given another justification and a reward for doing my job. No, but I'm going to be more committed. I'm going to be more. You create a potential advocate, right? I got that. They treated me really, really well beyond what they had to, aka paying me my salary for the job that I was doing. They gave me more. Therefore, I gave more. And that's how you build connection. That's how you build relationship. Speaking of language courses, what you do in language courses in general, what have you got coming up in the next few months? What are the plans for this year? What are you excited about?
Well, gonna get back to podcasting. So I'm pivoting to English-only podcast with Polish founders, Polish specialists who are doing business internationally. And they can have some nice insights, you know, and there's huge knowledge that could be presented. Also, we are opening more and more and more towards B2B and next domains of business. We are concentrating on e-commerce and marketing agencies, but we are slowly opening to some other domains, which is production and manufacturing. But what's most important, I want to start create the processes for franchise. So this is something I am going to be focusing on the next part of the year. What? So there's quite a lot.
I was going to say, that's quite a lot in 1 year. Is your year longer than most people's? We get 12 months in a year.
No,
how many do you get?
It's shorter.
It's even shorter.
Yeah, because I'm very, very lazy. So these are the plans. But, you know, if it's going to happen, ask me in a couple of months.
I will.
Probably
I will.
Not.
I will. I'll keep my fingers crossed for you. And I will check up on you to see how your plans are going. The podcasting sounds very interesting. You started on a podcast as a guest. I'm obviously not the first time that you've been on a podcast, but then you're going to be on the other side, which I hope that you'll find interesting if you haven't done it before. Thank you very much for taking time. We danced around, as often is the case on this podcast, but I think we did an element of justice to the topic. There's still a lot to be said, and that's why I would think we need to put a comma in this rather than a full stop, because it's going to be an ongoing discussion. So thank you very much for joining me today.
Sure. Thank you. Have a nice day and cheers.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mateusz Stasica. As I said, we danced around, which is normal, and that's what I wanted. And there's a lot to be said. We're barely scratching the surface of what it means for HR departments and C-level executives working together on making businesses, creating the environment within the organizations that support the strategy, that creates an environment that allows people to realize their potential and therefore realize the potential of the organization, of the strategy that is being designed, that drives the business forward. And there's a lot of discussion happening at this moment in time, why that is, what's the case, how to do that, what type of people we need, both at C-level and both in the HR department as well. And that's a topic that I want to be diving into more, how to bridge that gap, how to make it better, how to improve things and improve that communication between the departments. So I'm more and more interested in tapping into the challenges that CEOs face. So if, dear listeners, if you know of anyone who would be a good guest to talk about this, do let me know. I'm more than happy to invite them and have this type of discussion. The more challenging the discussion, the better. So I'll leave it at that. If you've got any recommendations, do let me know. Thank you very much for tuning in. Until next time.